Hi, I'm Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center on Vashon Island, Washington. We're glad to be able to bring you these podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about our Zen Center, please visit our website at pscc.org. I wonder if we could start once again with Silent Night to set the scene. And you can't sing that often enough. The traditional version. Christmas carol. Jesus was born on a very quiet night. A quiet and holy night. And that first verse, the second verse, goes a little bigger, broader, more majestic. But this first verse really sets a lowly scene. There's the barn where Jesus was born on a quiet night. He was born in a low place. After a lot of commotion, parents couldn't figure out where to stay. I think, wasn't King Herod's people after him? And finally they find this barn. And so he's born in a food trough in a barn, surrounded by his family, his mom and dad, and animals. I really like that scene. Jesus came from a very low station, low place. Our guy, Siddhartha, he came from a high place. He came from high birth, nobility. But he had to leave that. He couldn't find it there. He himself had to go to a low place. He had to go out into nature. He had to leave civilization, leave the castle in which he was born, and go out into the wild. It was only there, after he dropped everything, after he'd humbled himself and lost everything, that he could be born anew. The Buddha has a birth story too. Kind of a little more majestic. And miraculous. I mean, this is miraculous. This is a miracle too, but very soft and sweet and quiet and low. I think the corollary in our tradition is the Buddha's enlightenment, is the Buddha's birth underneath the tree. And it correlates in terms of time as well, in terms of the time of the year as well. You know, we celebrate the Buddha's enlightenment at this time of year, in December, when it gets the darkest. And in fact, where I trained the Rohatsu, which the week-long retreat that Paul and I did together, more closer to the we did it closer to the traditional time, which is the beginning of December. We used to do it ending on the 22nd, so ending on the darkest night. And the way I see it, on that last night under the Bodhi tree, you know, the Buddha went through his darkest night, his most quiet night. In a way, he had to go to his lowest point before the light, for the morning star, would appear. And in our tradition, I think it's only when we dare to become our quietest, when we dare to enter that darkest night, really giving up everything, that the morning star, our own enlightened nature, shows. And that, there's just image after image about that, right? The full moon, which also in the Japanese tradition symbolizes enlightenment, of course, only comes out at night. We have to not be afraid of that night. And I think, I don't want to stretch the metaphor too much, but I do believe that along with a kind of confidence that we have Buddha nature, that we are born with that, it's kind of our birthright, and along with a kind of determination to find it that is also important, there is also, I believe, a kind of humility that has to go along with our journey, as we journey into that night, into that quiet. We have to be willing every time to give everything up and really go to a low place. And I'm speaking to myself here. You know, now I'm a teacher of this stuff. I have to remember every time I sit that I have to give up everything in order to be born again, in order to be born new and fresh. And that includes losing everything, losing my station, losing my family, losing... losing everything that I love, losing everything that I dislike. I think there is a similarity in the symbolisms between the Christ's birth story and the Buddha story. In that, in both cases, we are reminded that power and riches of the world are not real power. But it's not real wealth. And in this tradition, real wealth comes to anybody who is willing to lose everything. Christmas is celebrated course at the darkest point of the year, and as is well known now, you know, kind of planted it there, maybe as a some say, because, you know, there was already celebration there, the pagans were already had their celebration of light. And I was looking into this recently about the, you know, there was a rival sort of way, religion, Zoroastrianism, you know, come from in the Middle East. And Mithra was the Lord of Light that was born born in a dark cave, born in a low place. And I think there is a celebration in Christianity, to be sure, of we have this celebration of the light coming back after having everything becoming dark. That light that comes back, that light of the world in the Christian, in the Christmas tradition, is full of peace, love, and joy, it is said. We don't talk like that so much in our tradition, peace, love, and joy. You know, especially in the tough Rinzai Zen tradition. We're more about wisdom and I don't know what, but those softer aspects are not emphasized, maybe as they could be, if you ask me. I just finished talking about Master Dogen down in New Mexico, his instructions to the Tenzo. Apa was there for that. No, Master Dogen, Japanese Soto teacher, 1200, lived around 1200. At the end of that text, which I really like, highly recommend it if you haven't read it, He gives his monks three heart minds, shin, to encourage that they should bring to their practice. Three. And those three are joy, care, and a vast heart, vast mind. And those track so beautifully in my mind with peace, love, and joy. He starts with joy. Joy for him, for Dogen, our joy in practice, our joy in life, the joy that he's talking about anyway, comes from a feeling of gratitude, he says. Remember, you were born a human. It didn't have to be like that. You could have been born as a god and you'd have been lazy, lazing around, not practicing. You could have been born, you know, there's six realms. You could have been born in one of the higher realms. You could have been born in one of the lower realms in which you would have had no chance to have the kind of reflective consciousness, or you would have been stuck in hell in a kind of in anger and hatred. We humans are born right in between, with enough suffering that we have a reason to practice, and with enough ease that we can find the means to practice. So he says that joy comes from gratitude and care. Comes from, he says, you should bring the mind of a parent to your practice. Care for the things around you as if you were a parent. A parent doesn't care so much about, doesn't care for their own safety, their own well-being. They care for the well-being of others, of their child. Treat everything like that. And finally, a vast mind, which is to say, a mind that is that sees things from their widest perspective, that is at peace. So Dogen says we should cultivate these three minds. And I think our practice leads to those places. We need to remember to cultivate them, but we have a good head start. When we drop everything, when we give up our whole life, we know this feeling. And we come back, that moment of coming back to our human life is a joyful moment. We can enjoy in a new way the simple pleasures of being human. The sunlight, the green, hugging our loved one. That itself is joy. And care. We have to remember to cultivate that, but also it comes from naturally from our practice. When we're not so self-absorbed, when we have learned to lose ourselves, we can naturally care for others. Immediately. And in a way that is kind of true and uncomplicated. And then finally, the peaceful mind, the great mind, the mind of, that has a wide, the widest perspective, comes from this practice as well. When we lose ourselves, we find that there is a great, we have a perspective that we didn't have before. So I feel like those are, we Buddhists ourselves, can claim some part of peace, love, and joy. And I think those three go back further even. I didn't mention this during my talks, but Dogen, you know, he loved to study. He criticized his school for forgetting about the Theravadan tradition. He studied that as well. And in right intention, the second step on the Buddhist path, Thich Nhat Hanh is much better at this. He does a great job of trying to loop in the Theravadan tradition to our Zen tradition. But I tell you, I didn't study the Eightfold Path at all. You know? The Zen school has kind of poo-pooed the Eightfold Path from my point of view. I think there's a lot of... I'm very interested in what that Eightfold Path can teach us. And when I studied it myself, right intention, the second step, has these three... I don't know if Dogen meant this, but it's a very close parallel to my way of thinking. In right intention, you have renunciation. You have three parts. Renunciation, which is very much like the broad mind, the giving up, and the vast mind. Then you have loving kindness. You have the two versions of love, Maitreya and Karuna. You have loving kindness, or friendliness, which is, to my mind, very much like joy. And you have karuna, compassion, care. So that is just to say, we have these in our tradition as well. And I believe that by doing our practice of humbly losing everything, we can find the light not only of our Buddha nature, but also the light of peace, love, and joy.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Puget Sound Zen Center. Thanks so much for listening. To learn more about our community, you can visit our website at pszc.org.